We are in the series, Summer at the Movies, and we are in the second part of this series. The first part we did Back to the Future, and now we're doing Born Identity. And so this is the scripture I want to begin with. It's in John chapter 3, verse 4 through 7. John chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. And this is what it says. "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into the mother's womb and be born again?" And Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again." Okay, the title of the message today is Reborn This Way. Reborn This Way. First of all, I want you to know that this message is not to focus in on one particular sin. Rather, it is to share the truth about the way we were born and the reason that Jesus said we must be born again or reborn. I understand that the term "born this way" has become a motto of the homosexual community, but they aren't the only ones using this slogan as a reason to excuse living in sin. There are many idolaters, adulterers, fraudulent, greedy, verbally abusive addicts, and extortionists who use the same slogan as an excuse to stay that way. They may use it in a different way, in a different context, but it's the same thing. They may say something like this: "Well, my father was this way, and his father was this way, so that's the reason I'm the way I am, and there's nothing I can do about it." Or they may say something like this: "Well, this thing happened to me as a child, and because that happened to me, that's the way I am. If it didn't happen to me, I wouldn't be this way, but because that happened to me, that's the reason I am the way that I am." And I just want to say that that's the same thing as saying, "This is just the way I am and the way I was destined to be, and there's nothing that can change that, not even God." And if we say that we are stuck in the way we are because of the way we were born, or because of something that someone did to us, or because of the way our heritage has been in our lives, then we are saying that God cannot do all things. If a person doesn't believe in God or claim to follow Jesus, then I can understand their hopelessness or their belief that nothing can change the way that they feel. But what I can't reconcile is someone who claims to know the truth and still tries to justify the continued lifestyle of iniquity. You cannot continue to justify living in iniquity if you claim to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's impossible. You can't do it. If he's your Savior, then iniquity has no hold on you. Amen. I love the overview that Danielle gave last week of the Bourne Identity movies. She said that Jason Bourne was saved from the deep darkness, a sea of darkness, by a fishing vessel. And he did not remember who he was, or he didn't remember the past or what he had done. But he got a chance to start over as a brand new person. This is why Jesus came. Did you ever think of that? This is exactly why Jesus came, to pluck us from the dark sea of iniquity and erase our transgressions and create us brand new with a new heart and give us a fresh start. It's what Jesus did. I'm not trying to over-spiritualize Bourne Identity movies, believe me. They're not the greatest movies in the world, but I'm just trying to tell you that's the movie we're using as an analogy in this series, and I'm telling you this is what Jesus did in our lives. So let's first find out, what is iniquity and transgression? What does that mean? First of all, you need to know this, that they're both sin. They're both sin. Iniquity, let me put it to you this way. This is the way Robert Morris said it, and I love the way he said it. He said, "Iniquity is inward motivation, and transgression is outward movement." Iniquity, inward motivation; transgression, outward movement. Or I can say it to you this way: iniquity is the heart, transgression is the hand. Or I can say it like this: iniquity is the attitude, transgression is the action. The best definition of iniquity that I can give you is this: it's inequity. Iniquity, inequity. In other words, it is when we are not equitable or not equal with God's holiness. Inequity. We're not equal to God's holiness. We're living in iniquity. The word transgress means to step over a boundary, like trespass or break the law. And this is important for you to understand these definitions, and I'm going to show it to you in just a moment. But you need to see that iniquity is inward motivation and transgression is outward movement. The truth is, we were all born in iniquity. How many of you know that? We were all born in iniquity. So if you were to say that we were born this way with this inward motivation, it's correct. We were born this way in iniquity. We were born with this inward motivation. We were born with these inward motivations bent towards sin. It's how we were born. So yes, we can say we were born this way, but that does not give us an excuse to stay that way. Psalm 51:5 says this in English Standard Version. It says, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." If you read it in the New Living Translation, it says it this way: "For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me." The Bible says this in Romans chapter 23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All have sinned. All were born in iniquity. Every single person in this place, everyone watching live stream today, and everyone on the entire planet has been born in iniquity. Nobody's exempt from that. Everybody was born this way. Everybody was born with an inward motivation to sin. This is why Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again," or "You must be reborn," because the way you were born the first time was not adequate. You were born in iniquity, so you must be born again. See, the Pharisees were promoting an ideology of, as long as you didn't transgress, that it wasn't sin. This is the ideology they were promoting. As long as you didn't transgress, it wasn't sin. But remember, Jesus came, and in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, "You have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say that anyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart." See, adultery is transgression, but lust is iniquity. Adultery is the outward action, but lust is the inward motivation. Yes. Jesus went on to say this. He said several other things, but let me back up. Let me just sum up what Jesus was saying about that. Adultery is the outward action. Lust is the inward motivation. This is what Jesus was saying. He was saying, "I don't care what you've heard. It's not okay to window shop." Let me just speak to the men for a moment. I'm not saying that women don't lust. Women lust too. But I'm just saying this. I know how we were born, men. We were born. Men were born visually. We were born to be visualizers, okay? Visualers or whatever, okay? I just made up a word. Please edit that from the... I was doing good up to that point. We're visualers. And it's true, we are. That's how we were created. But in the hands of the enemy, it becomes a terrible thing. Why do you think there are so many lingerie stores out there? Why do you think that all over the television there's all this soft porn? Even in commercials these days, soft porn everywhere. Hello? Do you see it? Do you pay attention to it? Are you that desensitized to it that you don't even see it anymore? Do you understand that the commercials that they play on television today would not have been allowed 20, 30 years ago? Just 20 or 30 years, just three decades ago, they would not have been allowed at all, not even in movies. That's why when you walk in the grocery store and you go into the checkout line, there it's full of magazines, and most of those magazines have soft porn on the cover. Well, Pastor Bill, what's soft porn? This is what it is, man. It's things you shouldn't be looking at. Hello? Why do you think they do that? Why do you think it's everywhere? It's marketed everywhere because the world understands that men are visual. We're visual. If we weren't visual, then lingerie stores would go out of business. Right? So Jesus came and he said, this is what I'm telling you. Because the Pharisees were saying, well, as long as you don't commit adultery, it's okay. You can window shop. You can look. As long as you don't commit adultery. Jesus said, no, I'm telling you that the adultery is transgression, but iniquity is the lust that's in your heart. And you cannot excuse it. You cannot wash it away. You cannot look the other way from it. Jesus also said this. He said, you've heard it said that you must not murder, but I say if you're even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. It's all in the Sermon on the Mount. It's nothing you haven't heard before. See, this is what Jesus was saying. He came and he said, I did not come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it. I did not come to abolish it. Let me put it to you this way. But I came to complete it. I came to put the cherry on the top. See, the Pharisees have just been teaching, just live by the law, live by the law, live by the law. If you can live by the law, you're all right. But Jesus came and said, see, it's not enough to live by the law. And no one can fulfill the law. No one can live by it. So I came to tell you that you must be born again. Because if you're not born again, there's no way to erase the iniquity that's in your heart. Second Timothy 2:19 says this, but God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Ezekiel 18:30 says, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel. Everyone according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and return from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. They're both sin, iniquity and transgression. They're both sin. It's why Jesus was crucified. He was crucified for our iniquity. Look at Isaiah 53:6. It says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone, look at somebody say everyone to his own way. What is his own way? Okay, you're right. Who said 10 minutes? I'm up. Can't handle it. You be relaxed. I'm not going to be, all right? What is his own way? His own way is the way we were born. Everyone to his own way, the way you were born. You were born in iniquity. That's your own way. That's the way Jesus is talking about. That's why it's so hard to give it up, because we feel like we own it. It's been part of our lives for so long. And we've learned how to cover it up. We've learned how to look the other way. We've learned how to excuse it away. We've learned how to desensitize from it. We've learned how to minimize it. Like I said earlier, we'll let the enemy give us all these excuses and we'll just buy right into them. Well, my dad was this way, and his dad was this way, and his dad was this way, and this is just the way it is. Whether this temper runs in my family. I just can't help it. This is just the way it is. I just have a temper, just like my dad has a temper, and that's just the way it is. Well, that's your own way. It's the way you were born, but it's not the way you can stay. And you can justify it all you want, and you can minimize it all you want, and you can desensitize yourself to it all you want. It doesn't make it okay, and it doesn't make it right. And Jesus is not okay with it. If he was okay with it, he would not have come to a cross and given his life so that you can be free from it. And listen, I think it's the greatest problem in our world today. The greatest problem in our world today is not that we got a world full of people out there sinning. The greatest problem is that we got a bunch of churches that are just washing over it and turning their head the other way and even saying in their churches, it's okay, you were born that way and God's okay with it. He loves you just like you are. Yeah, he does love you, but he's not okay with you staying there. What kind of sick father would he be if he was okay with you staying the way you were born, but he sent his son to be whipped and beaten beyond recognition and hang on a tree until he was dead for the very iniquity that you're trying to justify? See, that's why I couldn't stay seated. It's like a fire in my bones. I know it's not a popular message today. I know it's not. But I can't hide from it, and I can't look the other way. It's not what I was called to do. It's not who I was called to be. Somebody's got to stand up in this day and time and say sin is sin, and it's not okay for us to justify it. Jesus came and died so you could be justified from sin, but that's not that you can justify living that way. It means you're free from it and you don't have to be chained to it any longer. So everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him, who? Jesus. Look at somebody say, he laid on Jesus. The Lord laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. So think about this. While he was hanging on the cross, the thing that was weighing the heaviest on him wasn't the pain that his physical body was feeling. That's not what was weighing heavy on Jesus. I don't believe that's what killed him. I believe the thing that killed him was the iniquity of us all. The Lord laid on him. On Jesus, on our Savior, at that very moment, the iniquity of us all. That means of you and of me. We weren't even born. This is 2,000 plus years ago, but the iniquity that we were born into was laid upon Jesus so that we could be free. Let me show you another thing about iniquity and transgressions. I think this is really cool. It's in Isaiah 53, verse 5, the verse just before 6. Look at it right here. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, inward and outward. Think about this for a moment. He was wounded outward for our transgressions. He was bruised inward for our iniquities. Bruising is inward bleeding. Have you ever noticed that before? Isn't that amazing? He was wounded. What is transgressions? It's our outward actions. He was bruised for our iniquities, inward motivation. So there's no excuse for us to sit here and say, I can't do anything about this inward motivation. It's just the way I was born. I can't do anything about it. No, you can. You can turn to Jesus and let him take it from you. See, no matter our proclivities or our attractions, we cannot continue to define ourselves by the very sins that crucified Jesus. And at the same time, assume that we are right with God. Paul lists many of these sins that the Corinthians practiced in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. He said, don't you realize that you are that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Listen to what he says. Don't fool yourselves. Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or worship idols or commit adultery or male prostitutes or practice homosexuality or are thieves or greedy people or drunkards or abusive or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. I don't see how it can get any more plain than that. Can you? None of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Yet in so many of our churches today, we'll preach funerals of people that we know were living in wickedness, and we'll just say they're going to heaven, they're going to heaven, they're with Jesus today. I know, listen, I've preached several of them. I know it's difficult to preach a funeral when you know this person was living in sin, was living in adultery, was living in fornication. They had a lifestyle of sin. I know it's difficult to preach them, but it does not give us the right, just because we're having a hard time with it, to stand up there and justify the sin and iniquity that they continue to live in. Can I just say it to you this way? We can still love people and not justify iniquity. We can do it. It's possible. I'm telling you, as I'm speaking this message, if you're watching live stream today, I don't know, look, put me in this camera right here. If you're watching live stream today, I'm telling you, I love you with all of my heart. I love you. I have a godly love for all people. He changed me from the inside out, but I'm not going to stand here and justify iniquity and say it's okay. I am calm. I don't need to calm down. I'm just telling you that Jesus loves you. But in 1 Corinthians 6:11, this is what Paul reminds them. He says, some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. See, he names all those things that we once were, but we don't have to be those things. We don't have to stay there. In other words, some of the Corinthians, before they were saved, lived in those ways, but they were cleansed. They were washed clean by the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. They were no longer defined by sin. In other words, let me put it to you this way. I, Bill Wall, am not a recovering alcoholic. I am a reborn son of the Most High God. You are not a recovering drug addict. You are a reborn son or daughter of the Most High God. You are not a fornicator. You are a reborn son or daughter of the Most High God, and you are a joint heir with Jesus. You may have been born that way. Yes, you were born in iniquity. Yes, you were born bent towards sin. But if you have been reborn in Christ, you are a new creation. So stop defining yourself by the iniquity that Jesus died to set you free from. And start defining yourself by the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. All the old order has vanished. Everything that was pre-Jesus is gone. The way you were born this way, but Jesus made you reborn, and now you are his. Therefore, if you've been reborn in Jesus Christ, you no longer align yourself with your former life. That life is gone. And let me just say this to you, if it's not gone or you don't want it to be gone, because that's really what it boils down to. It really boils down to you don't want it to be gone. You don't want to hear the truth. You want to keep living in the lifestyle that you're living in. And if that's the case, you really don't want salvation. What you seek is pacification. Let me tell you what pacification means. Pacification means to allay the anger and agitation of, or to pacify the enemy with compromises. That's what it means. There's a big difference between salvation and pacification. Salvation means you've surrendered all to Jesus, and he, by his power and his power alone, there's nothing you can do about it except surrender. His power alone has saved you. Pacification is you wanting to continue in the lifestyle and iniquity that you were born in, but still call yourself a son of God. In other words, you want to have one foot in unholiness and one foot in holiness, but it can't work that way. It doesn't work that way. It will never work that way. Amen. Jesus cleared this up for us in Revelation when he was talking to the church of Laodicea, and he said, I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, you become vomit and I spit you out of my mouth. I know, calm down. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just speaking the truth of God's word. I'm not shouting because I'm shouting at people. I'm shouting because I'm fired up about the truth of God's word. I'm tired of seeing people justify things, justify iniquity, justify sin, and think they're all right with God and go to a place that God never intended for them to go to. Say, I'm just going to get off my notes for a minute. You say, well, why would a loving God create a hell and put us in hell anyway? He didn't create hell for you. A lot of people don't know that. You think God created hell just for us. I know a bunch of you just aren't going to listen to me, so I'm going to send you to hell. No, he didn't create hell for us. He created hell for Satan and his demons. You know what was created for us? Heaven. Aren't you thankful for that?
Yes.
Heaven was created for us. New Jerusalem was created for us. Have you ever read about heaven? You ever read how beautiful it is and what God's done there for us? You understand this is not something that's made up? I don't care what anybody tells you. Don't let anybody lie to you and tell you that heaven's just a figment of our imagination or it's really just a spiritual thing and there really aren't streets of gold. No, I'm telling you, there are streets of pure, transparent gold in heaven. Oh, really? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, y'all, get excited about something. I mean, we get to go to heaven if we give ourselves to Jesus, if we just surrender our lives to him and let him take that iniquity, we get to go and be with him for eternity. That's pretty cool. That's what we were singing about today. That's why we come together every week and worship together as one body. This is a time of celebration. This is a time of victory. This is a time of us coming together and getting refreshed and getting our equipment on us so we can go out into the world and preach the truth of the gospel. God never wanted you to go to hell. He never intended for you to go to hell. He wants all to come to repentance and go to heaven, everybody. He does. That's what the Word of God says. God desires that all would repent and come to salvation. All. But you have a choice. It's the beauty of our Father. This is the beauty of his love for us. The beauty of his love is that he's given us a free will. It's free. You can choose. You can choose to continue to stay in iniquity, stay in those sins, continue to excuse it away and justify it away just so you can gratify your flesh here on this earth, or you can choose to fall upon your knees in front of a loving Savior and give him your heart and your life and turn from the iniquity that you were born into and allow him to remove it from you and be free, totally free from that iniquity that was laid upon you. Laid upon him, I'm sorry. Listen, Jesus addressed this pacification in Matthew chapter 11. And I'm going to end with this. But he addressed this pacification in Matthew 11, verse 11 through 24. Listen to what he said. He said, I tell you the truth, of all who ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and violent people are attacking it. For before John came, all the prophets and the law of Moses looked forward to this present time. And if you're willing to accept what I say, he is Elijah, the one the prophets said would come. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Listen to me for a second. Whenever you hear Jesus say, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand, you better listen up. Look at somebody next to you, say, listen up. This is about to get real. It's about to get real. He's about to say something powerful. Listen to this. If you're watching on live stream today, you're watching, and maybe you're sitting in this auditorium today, and you're not agreeing with my message at all today, that's okay. Thank you for staying. Thank you for sticking around. I know there are people here that don't agree with some of the things I say and don't agree with some of the things I preach and don't even agree with some of the Word of God, and that's fine, but you better listen to this real close, okay? Listen to what Jesus is saying. He said, to what can I compare this generation? It is like children playing a game in the public square. They complain to their friends, we played wedding songs for you, and you didn't dance. So we played funeral songs, and you didn't mourn. For John didn't spend his time eating and drinking, and you say he is possessed by a demon. The Son of Man, he's talking about himself, Jesus, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say he is a glutton and a drunkard, and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by its results. You know what Jesus is saying here? Think about what he's saying. We played wedding songs for you and you didn't dance. We played funeral songs and you didn't mourn. In other words, Jesus is saying it doesn't matter how we say it. It doesn't matter how we say it. You are determined to ignore the truth even when it's right in front of you. This is what he's saying. He's saying, how can I compare this generation? To what can I compare it to? You're like little children playing in the street saying, we played wedding songs, you didn't dance. We played funeral songs, you didn't mourn. So he said, John the Baptist came, he didn't eat and drink, and he didn't party with all of you guys, and you said he has a demon. I come and I'm partying with all of you guys, and you say that, you know, that there's something wrong with me. In other words, we can't win. The truth is standing right in front of you, and it doesn't matter how we package it, you won't believe it. Are you seeing this? So this is why we're being told to calm down. I'm not riled up. But it sounds to me like Jesus was. Remember what I said a couple of weeks ago? People are like, oh, this name it, claim it stuff. Remember when I said, I didn't claim it, he did. Right? I mean, I didn't name it, he did. I got that wrong. I didn't name it, he did. I'm going to claim what he named. I'm going to claim what God named, right? He named it. He said that you are the head and not the tail. He said that you are the apple of his eye. He said that you have been made right with God. He said that you are a son or daughter of the Most High God. He said that you have an inheritance of the Father, just like Jesus does. He said you are seated in heavenly places. He said it. So you're getting mad because we're claiming what he said? We're claiming what he named? We're claiming the word of God. We're just speaking the truth from God's word, and you're getting mad? Don't get mad, bro. We love you. I love you. How many of you love people? How many of you just love people? God has placed a love in your heart. Come on, if you love Jesus, you should love people. No matter who they are, no matter where they are, no matter what they're going through, no matter where they are on the journey, you should love people. And can I tell you, you can love people without condemning people. Listen, there's a difference between condemnation and speaking the truth of God's word in love. There's a difference. And maybe you need to take a good look inside. Is it coming out like condemnation? There are people, I have friends who, and people that I know who live in a homosexual lifestyle. And they know I don't agree with it. And they know that what I feel about the Word of God, what the Word of God says about it. But they don't go running from me when I come around. We can have civil conversations about it. You don't have to beat them over the head with the Bible and try to drag them by their hair to church. That never, ever works. How many of you know that? It doesn't work. Stop doing it. Just let Holy Spirit open the door. And when He opens the door, you better step through it. You better speak the truth of God's word in love. I know there are people in this congregation, many of you in this congregation, that particular, and I'm not trying to zone in on one sin, but that particular sin has touched your lives in some way. Maybe you have a family member, maybe you have a friend, maybe you have a child. That particular sin has touched your life. I'm telling you this from the bottom of my heart, don't give up. Don't try to justify it. It doesn't help. Just love them. Show them God's love. Wrap your arms around them. Treat them the way you should treat them, like the loving Father treats you. Treat them the same way. I promise you, His love never fails. I promise you, it never fails. It never fails. Look at somebody say, it never fails. His love never fails. Never fails. Come on, band. I want you to come out here. It never fails. As they're coming out here, let me give you a couple more things. I have to show this to you. I have to finish this message. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns where He had done so many of His miracles because they hadn't repented of their sins and turned to God. Now listen to what He says. What sorrow awaits you, Chorazin and Bethsaida? For if the miracles I did in you had been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have repented of their sins long ago, clothing themselves in burlap and throwing ashes on their heads to show their remorse. I tell you, Tyre and Sidon, I tell you that Tyre and Sidon will be better off than you will be on Judgment Day. And listen, and to you people of Capernaum, will you be honored in heaven? No. You will go down to the place of the dead, for if the miracles I did in you had been done in wicked Sodom, it would still be here today. I tell you, even Sodom will be better off on Judgment Day than you. I have to stop and say this because I know there's an argument out there that certain lifestyles like homosexuality are okay, and that God's okay with it, and God's okay with it because Jesus never said anything about it in the New Testament. Well, I'm showing you right here in Scripture where that's not true. And I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to prove it to you in a second. But I'm showing you where Jesus actually condemns homosexuality right here in this Scripture. But it's not to trample on somebody. It's to show you the truth The truth of God's word is standing right in front of you, just like Jesus was standing in front of the Pharisees this day when he's speaking this, and they still couldn't see the Son of God right in front of them. And I've asked the Lord to give me the grace and the wisdom of how to present this today. Because if those Pharisees couldn't see Jesus, the Son of God, in front of them, I thought, Jesus, how can they hear your word through me? But we've said this many times. We've said, Kim said it just a few weeks ago. Jesus is the Word of God. The entire Bible is Jesus. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Jesus is the Word. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He is the Word of God. He is the way. He is the truth. The Word of God is true. So if it was said back in Genesis, it was Jesus. If it was said in Isaiah, it was Jesus. If it was said in Malachi, it was Jesus. If it was said in Matthew, it's Jesus. If it was said in Mark, Luke, and John, it's Jesus. If it was said in Paul, in Corinthians, it's Jesus. In Romans, it's Jesus. In 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, it's Jesus. In Revelations, it's Jesus. Think inspired, or who gave it to Holy Spirit, who inspired men to write it. There is one author. His name is Jesus. So in Genesis chapter 19, when God said, I can't take it any longer, this detestable thing that they're doing in Sodom and Gomorrah, I can't take it any longer. What was the detestable thing? It was homosexuality. So much so that two angels came in to the city where Lot and his family were. And as these angels came into the city, the men of the city, so inflamed with lust of homosexuality, saw these two men angels come into the city and wanted to rape them. Tell me that's not disgusting. Tell me that's not vile. Tell me that's not an assignment from the enemy. God said, I love them, but I can't put up with it any longer. So he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus was speaking that word back then in Genesis 19. And the same Jesus who came in the flesh spoke this word. For if the miracles I did in you had been done in wicked Sodom, it would still be here today. If he was okay with homosexuality, would he say that? Would he call Sodom wicked? The very reason it was destroyed was for that. You understand where we get the term sodomy from, don't you? From that city. So what I'm telling you is Jesus is, in all of his love and all of his ways, he's trying to get our attention today. We can't just back down from this, y'all. We can't just back away from it. I understand some of you are like, I don't know how to deal with the iniquity that people are living in. I don't know how to deal with this. Whether they be alcoholics or whether they be drug addicts or whether they be fornicators or adulterers or idolaters, I don't know how to deal with it. Listen, you don't have to know. He knows. All you have to do is be available to him. Do you think I have a plan? Do you think I have a formula when I go out into the world, a formula that I just give to everybody? I don't. Here's my formula. Get up, trust God, go out. That's it. Because everybody's different. He can't give me all the formulas it would take. You know, do you understand God knows each and every one of us? He's even numbered the hairs of our heads. Do you think I can, Kevin, stand up for a second. Kevin, God knows you intimately. He knows every detail about you. Do you know that? Every detail. He knows every cell in your body. He knows when one dies, and he knows when another one comes to life. Isn't that amazing? You know why he knows that? Because he created you. He knows your thoughts. He knows why you think them. He knows why they hurt you at times. He knows why the thoughts that disgust you. He knows the times that you're sitting there going, God, why do I keep thinking this? Why can't I get this out of my head? Father, help me. He knows all of that. He hears every cry to him. He hears every voice that comes out to him. When you call out to him in the night, he hears you. He listens. Every tear that you cry, he catches. It's amazing, isn't it? Do you think that I could understand all of that? No. Do you all think I could understand that about one person? No. So how in the world could I understand that about millions of people out there or the hundreds of people I come in contact with every day? I can't, except he knows. And if I just make myself a conduit for him to work through me, then when I come out and touch somebody like Kevin, then it's not me touching you, but it's Holy Spirit. And when he touches you, it has to change, right? So quit trying to think you have to know everything and know about everything and be super smart. And I'm not saying, listen, be educated. Please be more educated than I am. I ran from education. But don't think that's what makes you prepared and ready to be the conduit for Holy Spirit. What he's looking for is just a surrendered heart. That's all. Just a surrendered heart. Last scripture I'm going to give you. And then we're going to just come before the Lord for a minute. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. Jesus said this. He said, these people show respect to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Their worship of me is nothing. It's worth nothing. For they teach what men have made up. Listen to the words of Jesus today. Listen to the words of Jesus today. Just close your eyes for a moment. If you're watching live stream, I want you to close your eyes. Everybody in this auditorium, close your eyes. And I don't want you to, I want you to listen. Don't read them. Listen to the words of Jesus. These people show respect to me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Their worship of me is worth nothing. They teach what men have made up. Let me ask you something today with your eyes closed here in this auditorium and live stream. Have you been listening to something that men have made up, or have you been listening to the words of Jesus? Do you excuse the iniquity that you live in because of something you've heard some man say? Or is Jesus speaking to you today and clearly revealing to you that he died to take that iniquity from you? Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, whatever the problems are, whatever the iniquity is in your heart, whatever you've been struggling with, whether it's anger or rage or idolatry or adultery or fornication or homosexuality or cheating or lying. In fact, I just felt that very strongly right now. Right now, I felt the Holy Spirit say, that's it right there. That's something I want to deal with right now. There are people in this place today, you've been dealing with lying all of your life. And you even have gone to call it exaggeration. I don't lie, I exaggerate. And you've excused it and said it's okay to exaggerate like that. But God's saying it's not okay. It's not okay. You've opened the door to the spirit of lying, and it's been there in your life, and I want to deal with it right now. So whoever you are, whatever you're dealing with right now, would you just stand and say, Jesus, I want to give you all my iniquity. It's not just about the transgressions. It's not just about the actions. It's about the intent of your heart, the inward motivation. If you've been living with iniquity, if you've been having these lustful thoughts, these thoughts about anger or rage or lying or whatever it is, whatever has been going on in your life, if that's you, I want you to stand right now. Come on. Let God deal with it today. Come on, stand. It's okay to stand. It's okay to say this is what's been going on in my life. Can I just say this for you? I'm standing, all right? I'm standing. I was sitting and now I'm standing. And I'm standing for this question. There's iniquity in my life. And if I can stand as your pastor and say there's iniquity in my life, come on, y'all. Anybody dealing with it besides me? Anybody sick and tired of it? Are you sick of those temptations that come into your mind to say and do things that you know are not of God? Are you sick and tired of it like I am? Then stand. Let's just get rid of it today. Let's just deal with it once and for all. Come on, let's make a declaration today that we will not just sit by quietly and allow the enemy to have his way with our minds and with our hearts. That we're going to stand and honor the God that we serve. And we're going to call sin what it is in our lives. So, Father, here we are standing before you. Come on, close your eyes, lift your hands, surrender to him. Father, here we are standing before you today. And we're tired of the iniquity that has had a hold on us, that Jesus, you died to take from us. Father, I'm weary with these thoughts. I'm weary with these temptations. I'm weary, Father. Remove it from us, Father. I surrender all to you. Can you say that to Jesus? I surrender all. I surrender all to you, Jesus. Every part of me, every part of my heart. Take it all, Father. Take it all. I don't know what it's going to look like on the other side, but I give it all to you. You may have to say that to him today. You may be surrendering something that you've been living with for a long time. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know who I'm going to be on the other side of this, but I trust you, Jesus. I trust you, Jesus. I feel like there are people watching live stream right now, so I'm going to say this. You keep surrendering. There are people watching live stream right now, maybe in this place, that you've been dealing with the sin of homosexuality. And you've justified that iniquity. But today, Holy Spirit has gotten through to you. You feel it in your heart right now. I want you to just surrender right now to Jesus. Just give, lift your hands wherever you are. If you're able to do it, just lift your hands, lift your heart to him and say, I surrender all. I surrender all. I know it's scary. I know you don't know what it's going to look like on the other side, but you can trust Jesus. You can trust him. He's got you. Jesus, we surrender all. Take it all, Jesus. Take it all. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that he was wounded. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. We receive victory in ourselves right now. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Come on, y'all. Say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, I just want you to stick around for a moment. Let's just worship this one last song. And I want you to just celebrate today. Worship, celebrate, thank God for what he's done in your life today.